Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Our text today is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark. How many of you like to watch home improvement shows? You know, where the homes are fixed up. Shows like Love It or List It or Fixer Upper. Well, if so, you may recognize the name of Ty Pennington. Ty Pennington first came to notice as a carpenter on the TLC show Trading Spaces, where two families would perform a modest remodel of each other's homes. Trading Spaces got Ty noticed. He was chosen by ABC to host a new show, Extreme Makeover. The premise involved selecting a deserving family who were usually in dire financial situation and often had underlying medical or special needs. The concept was that the free makeover would completely change the family's lives for the better. The culmination of the show was the big reveal, when a truck was pulled aside and the amazing remodel was revealed to that needy family, who were overwhelmed at having this new home and the promise to change their lives for the better. To describe what's happening in today's gospel message, Peter, James, and John have been with Jesus throughout his ministry. He seems like an ordinary guy. Jesus called them. They knew Jesus from a simple family. Yes, they knew Jesus was unique, that he taught with amazing authority, and that he had performed miracles. He was different, but how different? A mountain. Usual. Well, they do not have to wait long. Mark tells us Jesus is transfigured before them, changed, but changed in a very special and unique way. This transformation was well beyond anything experienced by those involved in the TV show Extreme Makeovers. This was not moving a truck aside to reveal an old house changed into a fancy new one. The transition of the home from old to new, no matter how striking, could be explained. The transformation of Jesus was beyond explanation. His clothing became radiant, intensely white, as bright as the sun, beyond anything a human being could possibly accomplish. Now, the transformation of Jesus in and of itself was miraculous. But we are told suddenly there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Not just a vision, they were actually there. Two pillars of the Old Testament, long gone from the earth physically, yet there they are having a conversation with Jesus. What's going on? First, the supernatural transition of Jesus' appearance, and now Moses and Elijah there, live and in person. Here again, proof to the disciples that Jesus was far more than what they ever thought he could be. There he is, standing with Moses, the very embodiment of the law in the Old Testament, and Elijah, the very symbol of the many prophets who foretold the coming of the Messiah. The significance of the presence of these two individuals could not have been lost on Peter, James, and John. Jesus was far more than anything they had ever perceived him to be. There's one more experience yet to occur, the most powerful event yet. A cloud suddenly covers the mountain, and a voice declares, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." There's no longer any doubt that this Jesus standing before Peter, James, and John is the very Son of God. Talk about a grand reveal. Now, Jesus knew that the faith of these disciples and all believers was going to be challenged in the days ahead. Satan was going to be working overtime to do all he could to shake the faith of not only these three, but of all believers. On this mountain, Peter, James, and John were given the assurance to carry them through the days ahead. Jesus was the Son of God. However, beyond that, they were given a direct charge. Listen to him. Don't be sidetracked by the false claims or doubt. Believe what you will be taught. Never doubt. Now, Satan had already tempted Jesus, and he failed. Now, when Satan failed with Jesus, he did not simply give up and say, "Well, I tried." No, he just redirected his lies and deceptions to you and to me. The charge on the Mount of Transfiguration warns us all to listen to Jesus and not be distracted by Satan's lies. Peter reminds us in the epistle of this very fact when he says, "Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Kind of struck me when I heard the one child here, "What's God going to do? He's going to protect me from bears or lions," or whatever he said. Satan, for 3 days, from Good Friday to Easter, thought he had won. But on that Easter morning, all he thought he had gained was lost forever. Jesus, as we profess in the Apostles' Creed, descended into hell. But not to suffer punishment, but to proclaim his victory over sin and Satan. Satan was judged. He's been judged. And his true nature was revealed by Christ, who tells us he was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. We also were judged, but unlike Satan, we were judged innocent. The penalty for our sin was paid fully by Christ. We are made right in the Father's eyes by faith in Jesus. Never doubt that. We, each of us, have undergone an extreme makeover. It was then and remains today Satan's goal to separate us from God. Therefore, Satan is going to tempt each of us every day to follow a path that leads away from faith in Jesus. Satan's like a bad used car salesman. He's determined to sell you that clunker on his lot and tell you not to believe that other dealership with their promises of the perfect vehicle. Hey, those promises are too good to be true. They can never be fulfilled. There is nothing out there better than what I'm offering you. Satan is doing all he can to distract us from the truth. Satan does not want the truth revealed to anyone. He wants us to begin to question the promise of spending eternity with God, a promise he wants you and me to believe cannot and will not be kept. He wants us to believe that the cleansing that we received in our baptism didn't really do the job. He wants to continually remind us of the times we have sinned against God and that those sins will prevent us from receiving the gift of eternity with God. His goal is to separate you and I from our faith and stop us from sharing with others the glory that awaits us all through faith in Jesus. That's the big reveal of Transfiguration. Jesus is God, and that when we in faith listen and accept his promise, we are changed forever, and nothing can take that promise away. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, presents a question. He says, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ?" And he answers his own question when he says, For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We must never forget God's words to Peter, James, and John, words that apply to all of us. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. His promises are true. The opportunity to share that truth individually and as a congregation is always before us. Never let Satan try to plant doubt in your hearts. We have the assurance of God's promise that the extreme makeover that we received in faith is a gift beyond all measure. Share that gift with those you come in contact. And again, remember God's words. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. To God be the glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.